This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
I'm Mark Packer, and look who's back home in Cartersville. That'd be Wes Durham. What's happening? Mm-hmm.
Good morning, my man. How are you? Good to be with you this morning. And we got a busy weekend and a busy show. Wake Forest safety Nick Anderson will be here in this first hour in case you missed it with Kenny Pickett. Grace Rayner covers Clemson for The Athletic. She will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. Tim Hasselbeck at 9 o'clock. Cameron Teague from the Louisville Courier-Journal on game day as the Cards visit Duke tonight, 7:30 on ESPN. So looking forward to all of that and much, much more here this morning. How you doing?
Fine. I think we're good on that front. I want to know this, though. You're back home. You got a chance to sleep in your own bed. You got to see Clifford D. Cat. You probably saw the cotton in the back. Got your feet up a little bit. Falcons football tonight, which you got to cover. We got Duke and Louisville, which we'll talk about. So it's going to be good to be back home.
Feels good. The got to sit on the back deck, watch the sunset last night here in Bartow County. And very enjoyable evening. Did a few things around the house that needed to be picked up in my stead while I'm in on assignment in Charlotte, as they say. So it was good last night. It was really good. Enjoyed it and even got a little bowl of stew on a cool night, Pack. How about that?
Ain't nothing better than a bowl of stew, except for one thing, Wes. That is unexpected gifts. When you receive unexpected gifts, that might be the only thing better. And while you were gone, heading back down the Dixie Highway there on I-85, two deliveries yesterday at the house. Two. Neither one from an ACC school. So I'm like, oh, wow, what is this? For me, normally the packages go to Mrs. P because she's, you know, she's running the show. So I got, I opened up two packages yesterday, all right? You ready? And they are both as about as opposite as you can get. They both came from viewers and listeners to the program. And the first one, again, you know, I'm all about the handwritten note. The first one comes from Catherine and Rick Brennan in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. All right? And so here's the note. Hi, Mark. My husband, Rick, watches your show each morning, is an avid Pitt fan. He loves the Pitt items displayed on your show. I create and design keepsake bears. I also make mommy bears. He wanted me to make you a pit bear. Hope you like it. Hail to Pitt, Catherine and Rick Brennan, Pittsburgh, PA. So here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. You ready for this?
Look at this. You haven't looked at it.
No. I know what's going on here.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. You haven't seen anything yet.
Okay.
You haven't seen anything yet. You got it right there.
Okay.
Packer, hail to Pitt.
Hail to Pitt, Packer.
How about that?
Nice. Okay.
Pitt bear.
That's awesome. I love that.
I'm glad the dogs are sleeping. Just telling you, Brother Fuller. When Brother Fuller gets a load of this pit bear, he's down. He's looking for you, by the way, Wes. But when they get a load of that, I got to keep that away from Fuller. Now, that's number one. Catherine, Rick, appreciate that very much. Item two. This one's going to relate to you. This comes from Anderson, South Carolina. Handwritten note.
The big man. Whoa, the big man from Anderson?
The big man from Anderson. Cobb Oxford sends me something. It says, Pack and Wes, congratulations on show number 500. Thanks for entertaining me every morning. Enclosed is the one thing missing from the basement. Cobb Oxford.
Uh-oh.
His beautiful wife, Denise.
Is this a Tate's Lock basketball camp shirt?
No, better. Assembly acquired. So when you get back from the honeydew list down there in Cartersville, I'm going to put you to work when you get back to the basement. Look at this right here.
Oh, boy.
Right, right there. A basketball hoop.
What are we doing? What?
Yeah.
What?
It says in the back here, you can dunk like the pros. Right there. You can dunk like the pros. It's got one of those collapsible rims. So we're going to have to figure out a way to where we're going to put this bad boy. That's going to be to be determined. That may be on your to-do list when you get back. So, Cobb, appreciate that very much. Appreciate the bear.
Again, big man from Anderson.
Yeah. So we got all kinds of stuff today delivered from viewers. It's not just schools that are sending this stuff. We got viewers, and I mean, it's awesome. So the more, the merrier. Thank you very much. We will take a great deal of pride in putting that together, big man. So there you go.
All right. Let me ask you an honest question at this point.
Yes,
is there a spot in the basement within camera range that you think we can install that hoop without drawing the ire of Mrs. P?
Oh, I don't know. First of all, let's get something straight. This is my domain down here. She told me from day one, even before ESPN and ACC Network came together and said, hey, let's create this thing. This was my world down here. I used to have an air conditioning duct. Okay. I had one couch. I had a table to do the SiriusXM Channel 84 show. And all my junk was in here. Right? That's why the rest of the house looks pristine, as if it could be sold tomorrow. But all the junk, my junk, was here. So we have carte blanche to put this thing wherever we want. So I don't know. Again, we gotta assemble this thing and try to figure out where it can fit. But it looks like it's spectacular. And it's got a great chance. It's got a ball. We'll get the whole thing. So we'll worry about that when you get back. But I appreciate everybody sending gifts. That's great. Awesome.
All right.
So here you go. Stuff.
All right. Well
Stuff
done.
For the basement.
Speaking of basketball, how about a couple updates last night on the scoreboard? The ACC went 2-2 on the men's card last night. Wake Forest got 24 from Jake LaRavia, the Indiana State transfer. They handled Charleston Southern last night, 95-59. Easy win. He was 10 of 14 from the floor. We've told you about Alondis Williams yesterday, who was leading the ACC in scoring. Steve Forbes goes up and down the floor. You can tell by the numbers they're putting up. Now, competition's going to get a little tougher as they move through December. We'll see how it goes for Wake Forest, but a nice win for them. Boston College, you see that right, shot 25% from the floor. 25 in losing to Rhode Island. NC State lost as well to Oklahoma State, 74-68. And then last night, Florida State won the game against Tulane, but the Noles kind of looked pretty sluggish by their standards, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
Caleb Mills led them. Malik Osborne, 9 points, 10 rebounds. Mark.
Yeah, I watched the Florida State game, and, you know, they had the blue unis on last night. And, you know, the object's to win the game. I think at the end of the day, that's the good news. That's the good news. You won the game. But we're 8 days now into this season. There's work to be done everywhere. Mm-hmm. Nobody's a perfect deal at this point in time. But Florida State's got some work to do. And, you know, they won the game by 5, 6 of 22 from 3 for the Noles. That Boston College game you referred to, those two teams, Boston College and Rhode Island, combined to make 9 field goals in the second half. Combined for 9. So. Yeah. Work to be done. Kind of a mixed bag. NC State last night had the lead late first half, and OK State won a 12-zip run and closed the half, and then they held them off down the stretch. Would have been a nice win for NC State, especially given the Manny Bates news from last week. But, you know, again, it's early in the process. But good test, though, for NC State. Florida State, I hope, gets better. Wake Forest, you mentioned, you know, the quality of opposition will certainly improve. But, hey, the object's to get confidence in Wake is doing a thing, especially with Forbes guys, because he's got so many new faces on that roster. So far, so good as far as the W's go. And BC, that was a tough loss. That was just kind of an ugly L is what that was.
We do have one highlight from the night we want to show you, and this leads to our topic once we get to January of Dunk of the Week, because if we were posting one here this week, this might be on it. Cam Fletcher finishing at the rim. Little scramble, lob, Jaden Worley, I think, and Fletcher finishes in transition. So there you go. Big fella up around the iron. That is a big dude, by the way.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
That's the men's side.
What would you give that dunk on a 1 to 10? What give me the Western
about
scale?
About a 5 or 6. That's a 5 or 6. Yeah, right. It's middle of the road.
Yeah, that wouldn't win an award.
All right.
You know what was good, though, about that game? Was the crowd. I was impressed how many people were there in a midweek game, Tulane, whatever. I mean, Leonard's got it going on. Plus, Florida State's so good at home, right? I mean, they've just been dominant at home. I know they were disappointed with what happened in the second half against Florida on Sunday. But, again, work in progress. Don't sell Florida State short. Do not. That would be a terrible mistake.
Pack, as you know, the Florida State Tulane game was a renewal of a longtime Metro Conference series from back in the day.
Let's put dirt on the Metro, please. Bury it.
Please. All right. Ladies went 6-3 last night across the board in the ACC in the women's card. Good performance. Boston College did suffer a loss last night. A tough night for Joanne Barnaby McNamee's team, but 6-3 were the women. The news in women's basketball yesterday stems from the fact that the NCAA did, in fact, elect to expand the women's field to 68 teams. Now, the part about the women's event that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate the 68. They're going to play the four games that we've become accustomed to since 2011 on the men's side. So you'll have the doubleheaders on the 18th and 19th. But the women's tournament has always been 16 campus locations, Pack, as you know, before moving to regional sites to then ultimately determine the final four. So we'll see how they elect to play these in locations. Do they play them on first-round sites? Do they do the Dayton event like we've seen on the men's side? Do they find a singular place to house these events going forward? But the NCAA did, in fact, elect to do it. Men's first did it in, as we said, in 2011. Their first four has consistently been played in Dayton, Ohio, except for last year in the full Indiana event because of the COVID restrictions.
Well, here's what I feel. You know, whatever makes you happy. If you're good with 68, I'm good with 68. You want to call it March Madness? I think it's great. Call it March Madness. And, you know, we've reached the point now. There's so much money being made off the NCAA men's and women's basketball tournament. You know what? You can afford 68 teams. Let it rip. The more the merrier. That's what I think.
Yeah. So I don't think anybody's surprised by the election to create the 68-team field. The logistics of that 68, because of the way their tournament is formatted and bracketed from location standpoint, it'll be interesting to see where they add those other four games. Do they come at the site of those first-round games, which are typically campus sites, of those top 16? Do you play the two teams that ultimately get pushed into a bracket? Do you play them in a game, you know, 2 days ahead of the game that they would have played opposite the top seed or the, I think it's the 8-9 game, however it works out.
Wes, here's an idea. Copy the men and let's go down the road. How about that? I mean, there's no need to have another committee meeting. There's no need to say, hey, who's bringing the croissants and the bagels and the beignets? Yeah, copy what the men do and let's go. Call it March Madness. Right. Copy the men's tournament and let's go play ball. I mean, it's not that hard, is it?
There you go.
And we just solved it in 8 seconds. 8 seconds. That's how long it took. There you go. And I tell you what, if you need more money, call Mel Tucker, Michigan State, and he'll give you a loan. How about that? We're all good. It all done. Finished.
Wow. Mel Tucker. He's going to need some financial advisors this morning.
That's what I'm saying. Life is good. I'm all for everybody getting paid. Man, write me a check. I'm all for it. You know what? Everybody's happy. As long as it doesn't bounce. Call it March Madness. Have the ladies play. Have 68. Have 168 if everybody's good with that. It doesn't matter to me what they do. Seriously. The one thing we can say about the NCAA, they can conduct a tournament. Without it, they have they're great at it. So if they want more and everybody's happy with it, go for it. Go for it. I'm all for it.
There you go. Yep.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's game day in the ACC. Louisville going to Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium to take on Duke. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. So, Wes, I know that you're busy with Falcons football tonight on a Thursday night NFL, but the ACC takes center stage. And here comes Louisville with some momentum, and here's Duke desperate, and I mean desperate for a W.
Yeah, they are, and obviously we've talked about hitless in the ACC, and now with Gunnar Holmberg sidelined last Saturday in Blacksburg, Riley Leonard took the start in the game against Virginia Tech. The real question tonight is, can Duke get anything going in the run game, Pack? They had a hard time doing it last week in Blacksburg. And what will be the case, do you think, on this evening when they take on a Louisville defense? Louisville did a pretty good job last week against Sean Tucker, right?
first of all, Mateo Durant, we love him, right? He's just great to watch. But my concern with Duke is they've given up 45 or more points in their last four games. And yeah. I got terrible news for Duke. Malik Cunningham is coming. That is a bad combination if you're a Duke fan. We're giving up over 45 in the last four, and here comes Malik Cunningham and the high-flying Cards, who looked terrific, beating up on Syracuse last week and putting a 41 spot on. I've told you, I've been worried about Duke for a while, and I just don't know. If you can't defend anybody, how do you beat anyone, right? And this Louisville team, I think they've kind of got some unfinished business. I mean, they've had so many tough fourth-quarter losses. When they got a chance to put you in the dirt, they're going to. And I think Duke's got their hands full tonight, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on this. I think the other element facing Duke is the mental things that have occurred in the past here. They just have not gotten off to a good start in the ACC. When they've had opportunities, the games have slipped away. One of the games that that I find fascinating in this kind of run is a game like a Carolina, when you come off a non-conference game or a conference loss, and then all of a sudden you get Carolina, and boom, boom, boom. The blitzkrieg occurs in sequences, it looks like, for Duke. Tonight, that's a concern because Louisville was scoring in sequences against Syracuse last Saturday. You mentioned Cunningham. He's been fantastic. How about Jalen Mitchell? He put 100 yards on the board. I mean, there's all sorts of weaponry now for Louisville offensively. And to your point about Satterfield, the defense that Brian Brown put together, you know, got to get some stuff in your neck now, Pac. There have been some early missteps by that defense. But here as of late, not awful, a little more improved. Shutting down Syracuse says something, especially when you limit Tucker the way they did last Saturday.
I agree with you 100%. And the flip again, Duke is really, really struggling. They've lost six consecutive games. They've lost 11 consecutive ACC games. Louisville, you know, Coach Satterfield was with us a couple weeks ago and said, man, I really like the way our offensive line's playing. And I thought they've been really good. They could have won the Clemson game. They had it first and goal at the two. They just couldn't figure out a way to punch that bad boy in. But I was impressed with them last week because, again, Syracuse was hot. Louisville was looking for business. I thought it was a fourth quarter game. It's 41-3. Louisville is one of those kind of teams that when they get rolling, good luck stopping them. Good luck stopping them because they can put a ton of points on the board. I just don't think Duke can defend. And I love Mateo Durant. Hopefully he touches it 40 times and gets more records and so forth tonight. But, Wes, I just don't know how Duke wins in the track meet. And defensively, I just can't see Duke shutting down Louisville. Just can't see it.
Back here's the concern also about Durant. Only one rushing touchdown since the end of September. I mean, this guy was on fire to start the season. And we saw it in the Northwestern game, Roddy and I did. But by the time we got back to check in on the Blue Devils later in the year, it was not good. Durant had kind of been normalized, to be honest with you. You see the yards per rush. The touchdowns are one thing. He's had 573 in the last six games. But you kept thinking that Mateo Durant had a, and I hate to say this, a much bigger year in him. But it just has not developed part and parcel because Duke's been playing uphill just about every game. And here's the Carolina game where I thought he got off to a great start and was doing some really good things. And then that sequencing of what Duke does defensively. They get three, four in a row where the opponent scores. I saw it in Winston-Salem a couple of weeks ago. It happened last week again against Virginia Tech. So that's going to be a big concern tonight. If Duke can have a heartbeat and get after people defensively a little bit, that'll certainly give them a window against Louisville at 7:30.
Yeah, but when you're in September, when you're beating up on Kansas, remember those guys, Texas, Kansas, and Northwestern, and all those games? Hey, you're playing with the lead. When you're playing from behind, way behind, you're not looking to establish the run. And Durant is a tremendous player. He can play for just about everybody in the country from that perspective. Mm-hmm. But my concern with Duke isn't that part. My concern with Duke is when you can't defend or stop anybody, you're not going to win any games. Right. When you're giving up 45 or more in the last four, who do you beat? I mean, unless your offense is Wake Forest, and it's not. So, you know, again, six straight losses, 11 straight in the ACC. You got Malik Cunningham, one of four FBS quarterbacks with 10 rushing touchdowns, 10 passing touchdowns. We had them on the show this week. I think Louisville's licking their chops. I think they're watching tape going, I don't care if it's a short week. We're going to Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium. Duke's never beaten us. They've only played twice. I think Louisville sits there and goes, hey, we can put up a ton of points tonight, and I think they will.
Yeah, the other the interesting line on this is kind of what's left, right? Because Duke gets Louisville tonight, and then next Saturday finishes at home against Miami, who certainly plays Virginia Tech in primetime here on ACCN Saturday night. Louisville, this will be it for the ACC tonight for the Cards. And, Mark, next Saturday's game at Cardinal Stadium against Kentucky is a curious one, too. Rivalry game, everybody knows what that's like, the Battle of the Bluegrass. But feels like Satterfield and Louisville are trying to finish this way, doesn't it, going up? And last week was the start of that. After a disappointing loss to Clemson, they bounced back nicely and impressively, I thought, against the Orange. Feels like there's something hanging on the line here a little bit for Louisville finishing 21 to kind of push them forward, don't you think?
Well, everybody wants to finish that way, Wes. Those rival games are always goofy. They're different, right? And we're talking about Louisville, Kentucky, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Florida State, et cetera, et cetera. Those games are kind of a separate animal up and above your regular season. Mm-hmm. I'll say it again. Louisville and Syracuse, those two teams, are going to look back at the 21 season regardless of the way it finishes. And they're both going to look back and go, son of a gun. Man, Louisville in the fourth mm-hmm. quarter, those three games, Virginia, big lead at home, slipped away. On the road at NC State, got the lead in the fourth quarter, couldn't close. First and goal with the lead, you know, the leading Clemson game, you got it first and goal at the two, couldn't get in the end zone. Those are three games that they'll look back at the end of the season and go, man, if we win two out of the three, where are we? Versus what the ending's going mm-hmm. to be anyhow. But I think what they did last week against Syracuse impressed me. I think they'll be impressive tonight. I say it for the fourth time. Yeah. I just don't know how Duke defends anybody. And when you can't stop anybody and you're still kind of sputtering offensively, that's a loss. That's an L. And I hate that in the sense that David Cutcliffe has been so great at Duke. Not good, great. And what he inherited when he got to Durham and looked around from a facility standpoint, where they were in terms of wins or losses, and there were a bunch of L's, just how stagnant the program was. There was no energy. There was no enthusiasm. Right. Recruiting standpoint, he has done a brilliant job. Brilliant job at Duke. I just hate to see the last couple years just look like they're kind of almost back to square one. And I know the stadium's a lot nicer, mm-hmm. and the quality of their player is light years from where it was when he got there. But he's too good a guy, too good a coach to watch it just kind of disintegrate coming down the stretch. And again, six straight losses, 11 straight in the ACC. I just hate to see David Cutcliffe end a season where it looks like it's all totally unraveled. And that bothers me because I like him personally, and I think he's a great, great coach.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
As I mentioned, Louisville and Duke tonight in football, and we got a humongous weekend in front of us. Pitt with a chance, punch their ticket, and Wake Forest has a chance, West Durham, with a W in Death Valley. The Deacs heading to Charlotte, North Carolina. So all you got to do is win.
Yep, and got to go to a place where they haven't had a lot of success, right? I mean, it has been a fight at Frank Howard Field for Wake Forest through the years. But yesterday, sophomore Nick Anderson, who played at Centerville High School and near Clifton, Virginia, joined us. Last year, he was an interception machine. Had three of them against Virginia Tech. Last Saturday night, he finally got his first one of the year against NC State. And good to see Nick kind of realize, hey, I can do this again, right?
Yeah, it was good to you know, it was good to get a stop for our defense and for me personally to get the ball in my hands, but it felt good, you know.
I know one thing, you've been snagging W's, which is even more important. Listening to Dave Clawson at the press conference said, hey, you know what, my guys are out there celebrating. He said if they wanted to stay out there for 3 hours, man, take it all in, absorb it. What was that like? You win a humongous game against State. Student body's been incredible in their support. Truist is packed to the gills. You're on the field. Everybody's celebrating. So what's that feel like?
It was very special. Very special, not only for us as individuals, but the university. You know, anytime you can get a big win like that, especially against a rival, you know, and such a meaningful game, you know, it makes everything that we do, you know, in the off season, you know, worth it, and only motivates us more. So we got to keep building off of it and, you know, look to finish strong.
Nick, I think, too, with the small as the student body is, you're running into friends, though, isn't it? I mean, it'd be one thing to say, listen, hey, the school is 50,000. I don't know half the people are giving me high fives. But, you know, you celebrate like that with the student body. I got to figure you had to probably know everybody you were high-fiving with Saturday night.
It was pretty cool. I did know a couple people, which was cool from class and stuff. But, you know, it's just a – it's pretty cool how tight-knit and stuff the community is right now, and it's really good to see.
Nick, did you have a sense this was coming? I mean, you played enough last year, had some success last year. Did you guys think, you know what, we got a chance here? Mark and I, you know, we beat it around in the spring and summer. We knew the early front of the schedule was favorable. But to have this kind of success, did you sense that?
Well, I think we did, because that's where our offseason goals were, you know, our team motto set by Coach Clauser, you know, good to great. We felt that we had enough guys coming back and enough focus and leadership that this is the type of season we wanted to have and we knew we could have. And so to see it all kind of come into play right now is really good, you know.
In essence, though, there's a combination about Wake Forest that I think makes them unique. It's we hear the term complementary football all the time. You guys made plays the other night. The offense is kind of a given, but at the same time, there is some synergy there. What's it like to get ready for those games, knowing that you got a guy on the other side and Sam who can deliver the goods in terms of production?
Oh, it's so nice to know as a defense because, you know, I mean, really all we think about is just get one stop. Oh, we're confident our offense will score. Get another stop, give the ball to our offense, you know. So and that's why we put such a focus in the third down. You know, and getting off the field because, you know, we know we have so much trust in that high-powered offense. And, you know, we know Sammy will get the job done. So, you know, it's really good when you have both sides working together like that.
Nick, before the season started, for everybody that was trying to analyze the ACC and the Atlantic Division specifically, everybody said, hey, it goes through Clemson. Well, here we are in the middle of November, and quite frankly, it hasn't changed. I mean, it still goes through Clemson, and you guys now know, hey, we punched a ticket this Saturday with a W. We're heading to Charlotte. How about the anticipation of this game and what it means for Wake Forest?
Oh, I mean, as a kid, it's what you dream of, you know, these big-time games against, you know, I mean, anytime you want to take the king down, you got to go into his castle and take his crown. So, you know, it's very exciting for us, and so our preparation and stuff is in the making, and we're ready for come out Saturday and, you know, go in there with a win.
All right, Nick, the first thing everybody talks about when they talk about Clemson, yeah, the defense is the real deal, but the Tiger offense has been a struggle. In looking at your tape and looking at your preparation, what do you see? Because the pieces are still there. They just haven't been able to find the continuity.
Yeah, I mean – they've had some struggles this year, but, you know, this is championship football time, and we know that they've been in this situation a lot. So, you know, we're going to get their very best. They've been in this position before. So, you know, we know that they're going to come out, give it everything they have, and it's going to be a great matchup.
You also know there'll be 80,000 that can't wait to see you. I would think there was a player that becomes exciting, right? To know that kind of atmosphere awaits a team that's number 10 in the country.
I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. That's exactly what kind of crowd you want to play in front of and you know, put on a show.
Well, I tell you what, it'll be exciting to watch. All right, now you grew up in Centerville, kind of skewed toward Northern Virginia. What's playing in the – I mean, what connected you to ACC football as a kid? I mean, did you always think I want to play in that league or Wake in particular? What was it?
No, it was really just I wanted to play at the highest level of college football. And, you know, Wake came calling and I came down for a game and a visit and I just fell in love with the place.
Oh, that's pretty good. Walk on to scholarship, by the way.
It worked out great.
Yeah.
Man, that's Virginia Tech. I kept throwing it to him. Crazy. You know, we talk about Dave Clawson a lot. What is it about, Coach, behind the scenes that, you know, is it attention to detail, things he says, You tell me, you're living the life, you're living the dream on this. Well, what makes Dave Clawson so special?
He's probably one of the hardest working coaches that, you know, obviously I've ever been around, but even, you know, when we talk about other coaches, I mean, this guy's in here, you know, from 5 a.m. to 9 at night, you know, just constantly putting in the work, you know, but it's the attention to detail, kind of like you said, you know, just every single week, you know, not letting us let up in certain areas, you know, the small areas, paying attention, you know, to, you know, in certain, you know, the little things are really important to him. And that's kind of why, you know, when we're in a lot of close games, we come out with a victory. You know, I think he said today in practice, you know, in one score games this year, I think we're 4-1 or something like that. And that's just a testament to, you know, our preparation, but our focus and you know, attention to detail towards the end of the games.
Look at Nick, fall foliage during the interview. Did you see that? The leaves coming down.
You know, actually, that's our budget.
Oh, is that our?
Yeah, that's the end of our budget for the 21 fiscal season.
We're just putting the fall foliage in.
We have some interns dropping leaves just to make it feel like it's late in the season with Nick.
Hey, have you ever caught Coach Clawson on the elliptical watching the practice tape, Nick? I've been told this happens quite a bit.
Oh, Coach Clawson is don't let all the watching film and stuff fool you. He is one fit dude. He's either running or he's doing something. He's always active. You know, he comes out here every Thursday and he kind of, you know, runs around a little bit. So it's great to see his engagement with the players, and he's just awesome.
Nick, I know it's all about Clemson. That's the only thing that matters this week. But when you close your eyes at night, do you just kind of dream of how this thing comes to an end, this crazy, unbelievable 21 season for Wake Forest?
Yeah, obviously, you know the end goal, but, you know, this is the step to get there, and you have to win this one. So really all this week and stuff, and this is the focus. You know, like Coach always says, we're just focused about going 1-0, and the test this week is Clemson. And, you know, hopefully on Sunday we come in and we went 1-0.
Is there any conversation amongst yourselves regarding the college football playoff poll? I mean, now you're back in the top 10 again. Or is that just total outside noise and irrelevant?
I think it's definitely there. You know, kind of tying back into Coach, you know, he really keeps us, you know, focused on the weekly goal. You know, I mean, if that comes and we end up being a team in it, then we'll be in it. If not, then, you know, whatever we're doing, we're going to focus on going 1-0 that week, that opponent. And so it's great to hear and all that stuff. But, you know, like I said before, 1-0 against Clemson.
All right. By the way, I noticed that we ran out of budget because no more leaves are falling on you. So I got to ask you our traditional question since you're making your debut on the show. Since you've been at Wake Forest, what has been your hardest class?
Probably econ. Econ has been a little tough, but fighting through it, you know.
And let me tell you, it's all about supply and demand. You guys keep winning, you can't buy a ticket. That's what it's all about, man. We wish you the very best this weekend in Death Valley.
Thanks, Nick.
Great. Appreciate it.
I tell you what, he is a talented guy. Talented guy, fun to visit with. Great story. Walk on from Centerville High School, Northern Virginia. And scholarship last year, and National Defensive Player of the Week when he had 3 interceptions against Virginia Tech, as we alluded to. But you know what? They've had some injuries. They've had some turnover a little bit on that defense. But he's a much improved player from a season ago, even though he doesn't have the interception numbers too, Pac.
It's all about the W's, Wes. It's all about the W's. And Wake Forest is in the top 10, and something's got to give in the Valley on Saturday. Clemson has won 33 consecutive home games. It's the longest home winning streak in the country. Wake Forest has not won a game at Clemson since 1998. And here come the Deacs, ranked 10th. Here are the Tigers, that wounded dog on the side of the road, as Dabo was alluding to this week. Clemson's a favorite as an unranked team against a top 10 team that has not won in that place this century. Something has to give, and it's a humongous game for Wake Forest. As I said, a W equals we're going to Charlotte. A loss, it's not the end all. You got to go win, though, at Boston College next week under that scenario. And if you're Clemson, hey, you've scored over 30 now, 3 weeks in a row. You had the Tigers over the weekend playing UConn. Can Clemson score enough points? That to me, is the question. Wake's defense has been leaky, but the offense has been awesome. It's kind of strength versus strength. Wake has scored 35 or more in every single game. They're the only team in the Football Bowl subdivision can make that claim. And Clemson's defense is still, even though despite the injuries, is salty. And they're tough. And that place will be roaring for Senior Day. It'll be a fun environment and a tremendous game coming up at high noon on Saturday.
All right, I want to ask you this. I was posed this question yesterday in my weekly visit in Raleigh with Joe Obvious and Joe Giglio. Does this feel, and you're the perfect person to answer this, knowing that South Carolina is next week, does this feel like Clemson's Super Bowl game in terms of just the season has not gone the way? No. Is it, I mean, the season ain't gone the way anybody wants it to, but does this feel like this is one that would kind of relight the fire of what the Tigers' expectations, the Tigers' standards are?
Wes, their standards to win every game. I mean, everybody's kind of put dirt on Clemson this year. They have. I mean, everybody's buried them. They're 7-3.
Sure.
I mean, I know. If they win out, they're going to win 10
losses,
games.
By the way, well, the losses are to teams that all have the potential to finish with 10 or more wins, too. Right. Pitt, NC State, and Clemson.
I mean, I listened to Joey Galloway the other night talk about if Bama wins or loses close to Georgia in the SEC title game, they should be in because nobody's played Georgia close. Oh, I don't know, Joey. Can we go to week one? Anybody paying attention? Somebody wake up? I mean, it's funny how Clemson's been treated this year after the Georgia game. Nationally, it's just almost like, mm-hmm. let's bury them. They're out of here.
Right.
You know what? They figured out a way, even with an offense as beat up and wounded and as ineffective as they've been, they're 7-3. There are a lot of folks like to be 7-3. So I know this.
Yeah.
I don't know who wins that game Saturday. I don't understand Vegas. I'm not a gambler. So I'll take that and put that on the side. But when the Tigers have their back against the wall and they're at home and you get a top 10 team coming in there, they will be engaged Saturday. Now, whether or not they win, I got no idea. We'll figure it out. Wake's been fantastic. And that South Carolina game is just like you talked about with Louisville and Kentucky, that's a different season, that game. Mm-hmm. And both of those teams will worry about each other next week because they both have the same kind of problems. They can't score good defenses. Anytime you get the Palmetto Bowl, it'll be personal, it'll be physical, it'll be intense. But that game Saturday will be a big deal for Clemson, and it's a humongous deal for Wake Forest because they're sitting there going, man, we are so close to winning the division. And the Tigers are still not out of it. Just saying.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We've got tons of guests, conference cuts coming up, football tonight. We love a little basketball news. We've got some injury news to talk about, which is important. And a future Hall of Famer will join the show in the Power Hour. How about that?
That's right. Yeah. Tim Hasselbeck going into the BC Hall of Fame this weekend. High noon start. Dave O'Brien walks to the game in Chestnut Hill between the Noles and the Eagles. Coming up more on that with Tim and more. But first, Players Edition of Conference Cuts, and we start at Tigertown. Coach Skalski. James Skalski will play his final home game on Saturday when Wake Forest visits Frank Howard Field at Memorial Stadium. Yesterday, he reflected on his time, his decade at Clemson.
You look at life a lot differently when you're here, when they help you grow, and that's the biggest takeaway. You become a great football player. You'll become a good student, and you'll have all these opportunities to do great things. But the perspective you gain about how to look at life is like it changes you. And so no matter what you do, whatever it is, it's special, dude. I'm so thankful for all these years I've had here, and I'm so thankful I decided to come back because I think, I grew a lot my first five, but I think I've grown the most as a person, as a man, these last 6 months, to be honest with you. Why? I don't know. I guess I see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I know, life's coming, and I don't know. I just – at first I didn't want to come. Of course, I want to try to go to the league last year. Right? I want to try to move on, but God had other plans, and I got hurt. So the last year, I've really gotten the chance to lead, be led, and grow even more as a person, more than I thought I would the last year.
It's been fun to watch him play.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what is going to happen in terms of playing, but I feel fairly confident about this. He can coach. And we joke around about the spring game last year where he walked around with the headset and didn't go through the practices and things like that as he was rehabbing an injury. But there was some pronounced leadership, and he just said it, be led and lead. I mean, you know, that's kind of what coaches have to do when they want to get started. I don't know if it's at Clemson. I don't know if it's at somebody else's place, but I would hire him. I would hire him. If he said he wanted to coach tomorrow, I'd hire him the day after that. He's got all the DNA built in to be successful doing it. And if he does it at Clemson, he'll be wildly successful because nobody, Pack, laid it on the line for the Tigers like Skalski has.
Yeah, you know, he's a kind of an old spirit, right? He's kind of an old school guy. Put some dirt on it. Let's go hit it. If it moves, hit it. And that's his deal.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, it's a noon kick. I think that's an advantage for Wake Forest. That game's at noon and not 7:30. But I'm telling you, I think Tiger Nation is going to be excited about Wake Forest coming to town. I do. I think they will be engaged.
Yep. I think Pittsburgh's excited to see Virginia on Saturday afternoon as well. It's going to be an interesting ball game. Brennan Armstrong, I expect it to go right to kickoff, by the way, at Heinz Field. Yesterday, Packer family favorite, Servassier Dennis, was at the microphone. Pitt leads FBS, only allowing a fourth down conversion rate of 17.6%. And he explains why they love stepping up in those situations.
That's the real money down. If anyone wants to go for it on fourth down, you should show, as a defender, you should show them why they shouldn't. And I truly believe that that's the time I like to say, nut up or drop your nuts and like play, get after it, play football. So, fourth down means a lot to me. I love when teams come out there and try to convert on fourth down, because at the end of the day, they're saying they're better than you. No, I want to show why you're not. So I love fourth down.
You know, I got to tell you, there's only one player in the league that can give you that soundbite, and that player is Servassier. How about that? How about that line, West Durham?
Pretty much.
Who, yeah. I bet you didn't have that on your bingo card for the first hour of Packer and Durham on show 505.
Yep.
So
the real money down is fourth down. Is that what we gleaned from that comment? The real money down is fourth down? No.
I gleaned a lot more than that. I gleaned a lot more than, hey, we're going to make sure you made a mistake going for it on fourth down.
That's it.
What I'm most concerned about with that game is, do we get Brennan Armstrong? I do not know. On a Thursday morning, I do not know the answer to the question, which is perfect. Mm-hmm. Bronco Mendenhall strategy. I just hope he can go. I don't know at what percentage he can go, if he can go at all. But, man, the Hoos desperately need five. We saw what Virginia looks like without five. They need five in the lineup if they're going to knock off the Pitt Panthers. And, again, Pitt, like Wake, pretty simple. They can cut to the chase. You win and you're in. It's that easy for Pittsburgh and Wake Forest this week.
There you go. Zach McLeod at Miami next. He talked about how and his teammates – on that defensive side, and McLeod, an older guy, have adopted Manny Diaz's mentality through this tough week.
He's an unshakable guy, you know. And that's, again, one of the lessons that I've taken from him and just how to operate as a person. But when it comes to any type of, you know, adversity, perceived pressure, whatever you want to call it, he's going to stand still in the storm. And he's the same way through all of this. And the team kind of carries that with us. Even in the way that we play. He's open to talk about whatever. He's gotten up in front of the team and, you know, kind of just, you have to address these things. You can't, like, imagine being like a big business owner or something like that. If something major happens that would affect the business, you have to get up and address the employees, if you want to think of it like that. So, you know, got to settle the waters. Everybody's going to have their own thoughts, and it's his job to kind of keep everybody on the same page, and that's what he did.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Wes, we've not had Zach McLeod on the show, and he looks like he's handling his business, man. Zach looks like he knows what he's talking about. You've got the game coming up mm-hmm. this weekend. Given everything that's happening at Miami this week with Blake James, everything that's happened with Virginia Tech with Justin Fuente, I tell you, Hard Rock will be a kind of an interesting vibe for two teams that are 5-5 mm-hmm. overall, 3-3 in the league. You need one more to get bowl eligible. Yeah, there's another game left for the Hokies, of course, their in-state rival of Virginia. For Miami, they get a good chance to go to Wallace Wade Outdoor. That will be intriguing to see how everybody responds, especially Virginia Tech, given the fact that Fuente is no longer their head coach.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.